What kind of options we have here? That's one. And I don't know if you have ever met people who, when one problem came, they jumped faith. God wasn't what they were expecting him to be, and they jumped faith. They stopped believing. This God is not worth putting our faith on him. That's one option. And as we see here, that's almost as Asaph, or almost what happened to Asaph. Verse 2. But as for me, he almost fell. He almost jumped faith. And that's one possibility. Reality is too hard, and theology is just naive and doesn't explain reality. What else? What other possibilities we have? Yep. And I don't know if you have ever read the book from a rabbi, Kushner. Well, why bad things happen to good people? And more or less that was his conclusions. When God is not sovereign, evil is too big for God to deal with, so he just sits with us by our bed and cries because he cannot do anything about it. He finds somebody else to blame. Just the evil or the devil is too big. God cannot do anything. So we end up with a non-all-powerful God. And that's one another possibility. Just reduce the God we believe in and find somebody else to blame for the situation. What else? Yep. That's another possibility, and we're going to see that later. That was the road that Asaph at the end went through. I see another one is that you denied the problem. And there is actually some religious groups that say that evil doesn't exist, that suffering and pain is just situations that you imagine that happen, but they are not really real. And the way you do is you imagine yourself that you are not going through those situations. You deny the situation. And we have been with my wife through many of these steps and questions the last 6 years. We are missionaries. As I say, I grew up in the church. I probably, since I was born, I was in church. And I don't know if due to my dad's prayers or what, but at the end, I decided to dedicate my life to the Lord, to his ministry. And he opened the opportunity for me to go as a missionary to Uruguay and then to Bolivia. Jaina was also a missionary in Bolivia when we met. So we are, like Asaph, full-time workers for the Lord. We believe that God is good. We believe that he called us to be missionaries. After we got married, we went back to Bolivia. We left our countries, our professions. We left our families, all the things. And our first child was born with cerebral palsy and a few other complications. And what do you do in that situation? Isn't God supposed to be good to missionaries? Isn't God good? How is this good? And we've been very close to leaving God, saying, "Ah, God is not what he says. He cannot keep his word." And let's go and work on our professions and find a nice job and have a nice house and forget about that God. We know people who did that. Less painful situations, but painful anyway. But the Lord has helped us to go through, and we are still in a situation. The child is still alive. You know her, she's here. And she hasn't changed. We have been praying for her since she was born. And I don't know if you have that kind of situations when you pray all your life and the only answer you receive is silence. All our prayers, we can say, haven't been answered. We pray for healing and she is not healed. We pray that she sleeps and she doesn't sleep. We pray that Lord will heal her many digestive complications and she still has them. And we pray that God will take the pain away because she is usually in lots of pain most of the time, but she is suffering pain every day. So we've been praying for 6 years, and the only answer that God has given us is no. What do you do in that situation? Where is God? And if you want to see verse 13 and 14, we can feel a little bit of what Asaph was going through also in his crisis. Somebody please read 13 and 14. So that's how he felt. Is it worth living holy for the Lord if the way he pays us back is this? Is it worth cleaning our hearts, being following the Lord? I mean, is it good doing that? What good does it do? If the only way we feel, it's like every day we are being punished. That's how Asaph felt. And that's how we have felt many days. That's why when I was reading this psalm, it is picked out like, this is what I want to say. And Asaph went through different situations, different stages in this crisis that we are very aware of those questions. If somebody please read verse 15 and 16. So logic, trying to understand by our logic and our human thought, doesn't help either. Logic doesn't explain a handicapped child. Logic doesn't explain the suffering. When we try to understand this, it's really hard. It's oppressive. And that has been a very real feeling for us, oppression. It's that feeling that you are in a place and you want to get out, but you look around and walk around and try to find a way out, and there is no way out. She didn't come with a 25-year warranty that if you don't like this product, you can return it and receive a new one. It's oppressive. And that feeling has been real for many days. Many, many days. We want a solution, a way out there. We go to the doctors, and you know that's a situation where medicine or science don't have any clue what's the problem, how to solve it, or anything. And the doctors, the only thing they say is, well, you have to live with her. Well, that's what we've been doing for 6 years, and we don't want to do it. So it's very oppressive when we try to understand all of this. And there is one way, at least, to start finding a way out. Somebody please read verse 17. Okay. What is the sanctuary of God? Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's when we go to the presence of God. And that's a very amazing thing to me. I cannot understand how God allows us to enter such a presence, such a secret place, his sanctuary. How can God, or how can we be in that place? But he gave us the privilege of being able to enter into his presence. And that's when we probably find or start finding, understanding, explanation. And maybe some of the explanations we find are not the ones we're looking for. Maybe his answers are not for the questions we are asking. We may realize that when we come into his presence, the questions we have are the wrong ones. Maybe we don't like what we find. Let's see what Asaph found. He found at least three things. He found that the wicked ones are going to be destroyed. Those are verses 18 to 20. Surely you place them on a slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasy. So at least he found a little bit of an answer. Now, this answer doesn't explain why they prosper. It doesn't take the problem away. Just put it up for a while. But he understood also something about himself. Verses 21 and 22. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. I don't know how many of you will say things like that about yourself. But we see here Asaph opening, as I say, his heart completely to the Lord. He found that he wasn't that pure in heart as he thought at the beginning. You know, usually when we compare to other people, we always win. And he was comparing himself to the wicked, and he didn't see that his heart was also wicked in many ways. And then he understood something about the Lord. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. At least the story has a happy ending for Asaph. And sometimes that happens, and sometimes that doesn't happen. But at least we understand that the Lord's presence is real, even when we don't believe He's there, or we don't see He's there. In those nights where we need to get up several times at night to calm Charis down because she's crying with pain. In those days when we don't understand why she is so fussy and difficult, we don't see God on faith. And as we are somewhere between verse 16 and 17, we are still trying to put a logic in the situation, and sometimes we are still entering the sanctuary of God. I don't know where you are, what's the situation in your life. Maybe you are going through different difficult situations where your belief of the goodness of God doesn't really make sense. How can God be good if this is what we are going through? How can God be fair, just, if look at what is happening to us? I don't know if you have that kind of question. Probably the ones older here, they have gone through many situations like that. Maybe the young ones will go through situations where you don't find answers. You don't see how this situation makes sense. But one thing is real, is that the sanctuary of God is open for us to go in. When we decide to quit trying to solve the problem by ourselves, we can go into that place. It's open. It's available for us to go in and try, and then we'll find understanding. Then we'll find the answers. The answers that Asa found didn't change the fact that he was going to the temple every day walking, while the wicked ones were having a Mercedes Benz to go to work. It didn't change the situation. But at least he found some answers that will help him to go and to grow in the knowledge of God. The one thing you can pray for us, and you can pray for the ones who are going through a situation like this, is that we may enter into the sanctuary of God more frequently, and that we may go into that sanctuary and stay there longer. The hardness of life is so much that we go into that place just for a quick prayer, and then we come out fast because we need to attend the situation. And I still am trying to figure out what exactly does it mean to enter into God's sanctuary, into the very presence of God, to find understanding, to find explanation, to find answer to the many questions we have. Is there any question? Thank you. Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was going to share a little bit about that. We are thankful that God is is very bright, and intelligent. Even though she's totally disabled, she can show us that she understands and she's bilingual. We also are grateful that she sees well and hears well, and that she's been mostly on good health. She has had only two or three real colds, the flu, and no more. That has been all her. Well, she has some major things, but so we know that counting the blessings helps. Yep, thank you. Any other comments or any other questions? Yeah. Well, in general, what we have felt is that usually people are afraid of coming to us. They don't know what to say or what to ask or how to handle a person like Caris. So they usually keep the distance. They don't come close. And we encourage the students to come to our house, and well, our house was always open to them. But it took them about 2 years for them to really start coming and feeling comfortable around Caris. It took them a little bit of time. Answer to your question is, we hope that our presence will help them to be more sensitive to people with special needs. We don't know, but we hope that was a message that we want to say. And another thing that I would like to say is also, some people here have asked, well, how can we help you these few months that we are that you are here? We're going to be here until June. We hope to move to Trinity in June, like Jerry say. So one thing that we really need is time off, time away from Cari. So if you are sometime with 1 or 2 hours that you can spare, you can come to our house and you can take her to walk or to your house or stay in our house with her, so that we at least have a little bit of a break. Because sometimes it's too demanding to have her all the time. And that's the most helpful thing in this situation for us. You can also help us by coming. I go to Trinity Tuesdays and Thursdays and gain a stay alone in the house with the two kids. Caris goes to school only for 3 hours. So most of the time she is at home with the two kids, and that's when she goes nuts. So if you ladies or grandmas or whoever wants to come to the house when she's alone, and just to be there, just talk to her and give her a little bit of adult conversation, that will be a very good help. Well, I encourage you to enter into the sanctuary of God. And in any situation you go, in any circumstance where what you believe and what you see don't go together, they clash, there is a place where we can go that is open to us. That's the sanctuary. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, your presence with us here. Thank you that you are real, that you are sovereign. We put our lives in you, in your hands. And help us, O Lord, to enter into your sanctuary every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
American Mission Magazine, and she photocopied some of them, and they're on one of the pedestals at the back. So if you would like to pick one of those up and learn a little bit more about them, you're certainly welcome to. I just would like to say this as far as Caras is concerned. They also have an adopted Bolivian boy who's 2 years old now, right? And he's so much fun to have around. But I tell you, when you get one of Caras' smiles, she really is a beautiful child. And when you get one of those smiles from her, it's like an epiphany, as Steve would say in some of his letters. Father, we are so almost tongue-tied, for even though each of us has had her or his own personal struggles, sometimes deep emotional struggles, yet we hardly know how to enter into the things that Daniel and Gaina have experienced in these last 6-7 years. And as he says, there's no way of escape, there's no way out, but to take every day to you and to hand their lives over to you. And we thank you for the way you have worked, and you have given them the strength. And when they've been to almost the breaking point, you have sent someone to help them out. And we thank you that right here in this chapel, there are people who really want to reach out and to help ease the burden that these dear folks have. And so we commend not only Daniel and Gaina and Caras and Jonathan to you, but each of us, for we always stand in need of you. And may we find that sanctuary, that particular place where we are in vital touch, living touch with the living God. We pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who revealed the Father so clearly to us. Amen.